Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Lori and Joe. Well, good morning. I don't know who's got the thing, but turn me up just a little, and then you'll probably have to turn it down later or something. I don't know. I'm so thrilled to be here today. I missed last week, and honestly, I was talking to my brother on the phone. I must be too weak or something spiritually, because I can't afford to miss a week of church. It just absolutely devastates me. And so I couldn't wait. I was on pins and needles to get here. I was praying Friday, Lord, let tomorrow be Sunday. Change the calendar somehow. But I'm so glad to be here. We're going to take a little exit or detour from the spirit world teaching, because I do have to, I'm compelled to tell the story, which is unique in itself, that phrase to tell the story. I got to tell the story of where God's been, what the Lord's been doing over the last couple of weeks. In doing that, there's a lot that I have to share. So, boy, be with me here for a little while. And as you've heard me say before, hear my heart more than my words at times, if you will. But it centers around this idea of creating a lifestyle of praise. And I just in the next few minutes, I want to recap abbreviatedly the journey that the Lord's been taking me on over the last couple of weeks and what He's instilling in my heart. And it culminates in a couple of announcements that I want to make to you at the end. Did you know, how many of you understand that the biggest motivating factor of anyone's life is to locate their design and their purpose and fulfill it? How many of you understand that? That's where you find true contentment in life. That also describes why someone who is a billionaire or a millionaire can end his life in suicide. You would think he has everything. But money does not equal purpose and design. It can't bring to you what purpose and design does. God, over the last couple of weeks, has been reuniting me with purpose. And that's kind of the journey that I've been on. In some cases, He has revealed why the things happened to me the way they did over the last couple of weeks was because I'm also stubborn and mule-headed and that sort of thing. So the Lord has to do some stuff to direct and set the course for our lives. The story of the last 2 weeks begins with Bible school and how significant it was in my life. As a matter of fact, it was Bible school here a couple of Saturdays ago that sustained me through the week in the hospital that I spent. It was also Bible school that proved to be one of the biggest God encounters I've had in some time last Thursday morning. It was Bible school that helped me through a very painful time right following the surgery. I'm compelled to tell you this, and I'm telling you this because it's important that you understand something about our purpose collectively just for a second, if I can. When I left Bible school, which, by the way, the theme of Bible school was located in Psalm 107. It was in verse 2. Now, unlike McKenzie, I do read the King James, but I loved the paraphrase or whatever translation was used in Bible school. The King James says this, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." Okay? Now, in Bible school, it was, "Let the redeemed tell their story." Okay? So when I left here from Bible school the other Saturday, I was a little bit in pain, whatnot, and called Joe Barrett later that night, that evening, and said, I may need to go on to the hospital, and I just thought I had an infection, needed an antibiotic, and I didn't want to go the whole weekend without it. But if you go to the hospital, you never know what time you're going to get out. So I wanted Joe to be prepared for that Sunday morning. I didn't know at the time I was going to have surgery and all of the things that followed. Come to find out that getting to the hospital, they said, well, you got to have surgery. My appendix had ruptured. There was a cancerous tumor in the appendix. And I can't call the name of the tumor. Haley knows all that. But they couldn't be sure they got it all. They can't be sure they got it all. They can't be sure they didn't either. But so I'm sitting here today declaring to you, I don't have cancer. Wanted to clear that up right quick. I'm probably going to be walking through a journey medically just to clear up some things for the doctor's doubt, okay? And we're solely doing that just for the doctors, and because I firmly believe I don't have cancer. I do believe I did have cancer. The cancer doctor even said, good thing your appendix busted. Had it not, we wouldn't have found this cancer. So, praise the Lord. Everybody say amen to that. But as a result of the surgery, they had to do, they had to get the appendix, clean me out, and they had to do a bowel resection, which entails cutting out some of your large intestines and cutting out some of your small intestines, then sewing you back together. And so, after the surgery, I don't remember a whole lot, but I remember being in my room and the pain machine malfunctioned. And I went for several hours without any pain medication. Now, you'd think that's a horrible thing. Well, it was for my body. But I got to tell you what happened a little bit during that. And you'll have to bear with me, give me grace. I'm not going to get to all this. But you got to hear this story. I'm trying to tell my story. Okay? Didn't have no pain medication. But I could hear, and I remember saying this, I can't focus. I can't focus. I remember saying that, I think. And in the past, when I've encountered pain, I could focus and pray. And it would help me with pain. Because there's an undying principle of truth from the book of Proverbs that says the spirit of man, inside of the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, and it brings healing to the body. Did you hear what I just said? So when you're in massive pain, you can walk deep into your spirit, lose yourself in Christ. And it helps you with pain. And when I was sitting there in my room and I was not having any pain medication, and I said, I can't focus. I can't focus. Here's what I could, what I was actually saying was, I can't pray. Everybody say you're listening. I couldn't focus to pray. So I want you to see what God did here. In that moment, my wife was at the left hand of my bed, and I started hearing her pray. Now, what I'm fixing to share with you is going to sound a little bizarre. I saw Joe Barrett's face in my mind, and I knew he was praying. Now, it's a scary thing not to have pain medication after a surgery and see Joe Barrett's face. That is scary. But I knew in my spirit at that moment he was praying. I don't know what time it was. I know it was late, but I knew he was praying. I could see Dawn's face. I saw Lori's face. I don't know if she was praying in that moment, but I know she had prayed. And I know she was praying. I could see my brother's face. I could see Ken's face and Lisa. Many people's faces I could see in my mind. And the praying helped me make that journey through that first night in the hospital until the pain machine, somebody figured out it needed to be plugged in. Yeah, it wasn't plugged in. And so, but watch this. How bizarre is that? How bizarre is that? Here's the lesson. Saul went to Samuel one time before battle, and he said, Samuel, I can't pray for myself. Pray for me. It deepened the understanding in my heart of how much we need the prayers of one another. And what a valuable thing it is for that interchange of spirit to spirit to take place. We often devalue our own prayers for each other, and we relegate them down to mere words when they are actually spiritual bombs.
Yes.
Ready to destroy demons.
Amen.
Now, I'm sharing bits and pieces. The story's too long for me to tell you. Trust me. The encounter I had on that Thursday morning was something that was life-altering. I'll just go one step further with that, and then we're not even going to get to start. So we're going to be, I will. I've got 2 weeks worth, and it's hard for me. Let me share this. I think it was Wednesday night. I'm not sure. I believe so. I get my days confused. Haley was sitting in the room. She wouldn't leave. Thank God I'm married to a woman that knows how to support me and love me. Thank you for that. Greatest gift she gave me was in the hospital room, and she had her guitar up there, and she started playing, and she started worshiping. And I'm laying there, 3 sheets in the wind, knocked out on pain medication that was now working. Okay? And this is a little bit funny, I guess. Wasn't funny for her in the moment, but it is now reflecting back on it. She's over there worshiping. I'm laying in the bed. I don't know what time it was. Help yourself.
So I'm over there playing, and I've just played till I couldn't play no more. My fingers was hurting, my back was hurting, my whole body was hurting. So I looked over at him, and he was like this, so I just thought he was asleep. I'm like, okay, I'll just play music on my phone instead. We'll give myself a break. And so I kind of had my Bible open, and I was reading and just listening, and I peek over at him for a few seconds, make sure it's still up. And I looked over one time at him, he was doing this. And y'all know the song I wrote for his dad.
Heaven is real.
Before he took his final breath, he lifted up his arm. When his dad died, that's what he did. And I looked over and he was doing it, and I was like, "What are you doing?" He just starts
shaking. I knew that when she grabbed my arm, I knew that's what she was thinking. Oh, dear Lord, because when Dad died, he was doing this number here, But there I was worshiping. Now, when I was worshiping, here's what the Spirit of God was dropping into my heart, and it came back from Bible school. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I've preached from this chapter, Psalm 107. 1,000 times, I'm sure you have. There's 4 times in this chapter that it says this, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord." 4 times in that chapter it says that. There's a reason why. And in this detour from the spirit world teaching, in this teaching, we're going to discover those reasons why. But on Thursday morning about 4 o'clock, I haven't slept. For about a week and a half, I couldn't sleep longer than about a 2-hour stretch at a time. But about 4 o'clock on Thursday morning, I'm sitting in the chair in my room, and I'm just pondering these 4 times. Oh, that men would praise the Lord. And I lifted my arms to the Lord. And in that very second that I lifted my arms to the Lord, all of the definitions, the Bible definitions of lifting our arms, came flooding to my mind. One is to simply hug Jesus. And I could feel Him hugging me. And I just broke in that moment. I just absolutely broke in that moment. And it was like the Lord was whispering this to me. Hey, you want to praise me? Tell your story. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And it brought to me the reason, some of the reasons why that God is taking me through this journey. I've got a little bit of a journey to go. I've got, we think at least, we'll find out this week, we think we got about 6 months worth of chemo to do. But there's even a story in that of how all of that came about. How God designed and arranged the hospital stay and the people that showed their face in there and the timing of all of the visits was so amazing. Only God could do it. Only God could do it. Can I just share one of those and then we'll move on, because I got to get back to the main theme at least for today and challenge you with a couple of things. When the surgeon came in and said, okay, well, we've got the pathology report. It was cancer. And we've got to get you to a cancer doctor. Well, of course, naturally, my mind goes to Joe and his journey through cancer and his raving reviews of the lady that the oncologist that took him through his journey. And that was the first thing that if I have to have an oncologist, number one, she's the only one I can name. I don't know nobody else. And Joe had walked through that. Oddly enough, my medical doctor, who is retired now and has been for some time, who was my medical doctor years ago after the surgery, didn't miss a day visiting me in the hospital. And he was busy researching the type of cancer that this is and all of these various things. And he was saying, we've got to get you to the right cancer doctor. It's imperative. We've got to get you to the right cancer doctor and all this sort of thing. And so come to find out, the very outfit he wanted me to go with was the outfit that this Dr. Lee is a part of. So nonetheless, the surgeon said, well, we'll try to get you an appointment with her. She's very busy. We'll try to get that done, but we can't. Maybe when you're discharged, by the time you're discharged, we'll have it. He walked out of the hospital room and walked straight into one of her associates, talked to that associate, walked back into my room and said, I just run into one of Dr. Lee's associates, and he said that he would be glad to get the message to her. So that was hopeful. A couple hours later, Dr. Lee walked into my hospital room. And she was full of information, had already reviewed the scans, and God had made that arrangement. Now, you have to understand something from my perspective. Number one, I don't go to doctors. I never have. And you've got to also understand that I wouldn't chase after doctors. It's not in my nature. God, knowing this, made all of those preparations for me without my permission, I tell you. In other words, God didn't invite me to a counsel in heaven and say, hey, son, let me just get your advice first. God made those arrangements. Now, on and on, there's stories like that I could tell you. So I get home. And once I'm at home, I'm blessed beyond measure to receive a phone call that took me back years and years in my life. And this is the main theme, and I didn't get to, I've got 14 slides gathered here on creating a lifestyle of praise, and I ain't even got to read the text. So we'll pick up with this next week, but I have to share this part with you, and I need to stand up if I can. It's important. All right. So just bear with me here. When I was a kid, my grandmother, Mama Roland, was basically what you call a demon slayer. Demons were afraid of her. She was such a powerful prayer warrior. And I can't explain this enough. I remember as a young kid, I spent a few weeks with them in the summer in Pennsylvania. My grandmother took me with her to the grocery store. Now, you didn't ask my grandmother for prayer unless you wanted to be prayed for right then. It didn't matter where you were. We enter into this grocery store in Ephrata, Pennsylvania. There was a lady started hollering, Sister Anna, Sister Anna. And of course, Mimaw, yes, yes. She didn't a bit more know the woman's name than she could fly to the moon. She goes over to her and the lady begins to say, Sister Anna, you have to pray for me. And she shared this distressing event in her life. So Sister Anna, my grandmother, began to pray in the meat section of the Piggly Wiggly in Ephrata, Pennsylvania. It was an amazing thing. I was just a small kid. People who was pushing their carts would stop. Men would take their ball caps off. And they would just stand there. Mamaw prayed for what seemed like an hour. I'm just a small kid. I'm in the grocery store. But I think I was 12 at the time. I could feel the presence of God in the Piggly Wiggly from her praying. I used to love to hear Mama and Papa pray. I just loved it. The other day, my phone rung, and it was my Aunt Carolyn. My Aunt Carolyn lives in Lynchburg, Virginia. She went through cancer several years ago, and I was pleased to be in the room before her surgery, and in walked Dr. Jerry Falwell into her room. They were members of Thomas Road Baptist Church. Dr. Falwell had a bottle of oil. He greased her up real good, prayed for her, and Carolyn survived the cancer. The other day she called, we talked, and just exchanged things. And she was telling me about chemo and all of that. And she even said, I know Joe can tell you about it. She said, this is my experience. And she shared it. Then she said, now I want to pray for you before we hang up. And I said, okay, Aunt Carolyn. And she commenced to praying. And it was like the incarnation of my grandmother. As a matter of fact, five times she called me Clay on the phone. That was my granddaddy's name. And I sat there and I could hear my mama praying, and demons were just absolutely terrified. I've learned over the last couple of weeks of the gift of prayer. Can I tell you a truth? My body's weak, and it may grow a little weaker. I don't know. But my spirit man is so strong, and I'm at such peace with God right now that I can't even explain it to you. There's no words to describe it. Right. And the reason is because of the power of prayer. The precious, wonderful gift of prayer. The realization of the power of prayer can only be given to people who walk deeply into the person of the Spirit of God. If you don't lose sight of your physical existence, to really walk deep into your spirit, you will never understand the potential of the power of prayer that lies within each of us. If somehow I could transfer into your body the knowledge of the power of prayer, did you know that this church could change the world?
Amen.
Listen to what the Bible says. And if anybody's sick among you,
yes, it does.
Let them call for the elders of the church and let them pray. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. I have no energy to preach. I have no energy to use my voice to capture your attention. So all I have left right now is just the anointing of God's Holy Spirit. I have noticed in times past the anointing of prayer being dropped on this congregation. I've noticed it. I'm calling on you to walk into the reality of it. I dare you. I triple dare you. Find you a place where there's nobody around but you and practice praying. I dare you. Practice praying. Talk to Jesus. You don't even have to talk to him about you. Talk to him about somebody else and watch what he does in you. Because that kind of praying will get the job done. Did y'all hear what I said? The power of prayer is connected to a lifestyle of praise. And we're going to take that journey through 107, Psalm 107, and we're going to learn how to hug on Jesus. And I'll guarantee you, it'll not only bring healing to you, but it'll release power in you. And I'm going to tell you personal things, very vulnerable things, about my prayer life and my praise life that I want you to adopt. I'm only doing it because I now have less to lose than I had before all of this, and I didn't have a whole lot to lose then. God stripped me of just about everything. But as long as I have Him, that's all I need. Say amen to that. Now, I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to make a little bit of an announcement. And I don't even know what how to do that, but we're going to muddle through. Father, teach us to pray. Oh, wow. I can see it in my spirit. I can see it in my spirit right now. If somebody in this congregation, or several in this congregation, I believe there's going to be several in this congregation, they're going to learn the art of prayer through your spirit. You're going to take them on a journey to put them in a place where there's nobody but them and you, a place of their prayer, a closet for them to pray. Maybe it's in the woods. Maybe it's beside a tree. Maybe it's in their house. or maybe it's just, but you're going to teach them to pray. They're going to have conversation with you. They'll hear you. They'll speak back. You'll speak to them. Their lives are going to be changed a little at a time in the transforming power of the Holy Spirit. And God, connected to teaching us how to pray, you're going to teach us how to praise. And through that lifestyle of prayer and praise, we're going to ring the bells of heaven. And the glory of God is going to be revealed in such a way in this place that it's going to be like Isaiah when we walk in here. We're going to say, all I know is the glory of the Lord is in there. High and lifted up is the Lamb of God. And we're going to begin to confess and get right with you things in our life that you're trying to chip away as the stone cutter that our pastor told us about last week. We love you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, can I share just a little bit of an announcement? I've been down for a couple of weeks, and that's hard for me. I'm not used to that. Neither are y'all. So don't judge me as a result of it. All right? You're not good at it. You couldn't sit in a chair every day, all day. Why drive you insane? Can you imagine Joey Gregg? Let's don't imagine that. That's awful. Can you imagine Colt Bass being tied to a chair every day? No. Or Joey, either one. You Ken? I can't imagine. Can you imagine Ken Martin having to sit in the same place over poor Lisa? But that's where I'm going to be for a while. I have to embrace that to get over the surgery. And then I'm going to be going from surgery to chemo. And there's a lot that goes all into that. But here's what the Lord has me doing. I picked up an old project that I had not finished. Okay? And the book of Revelation's in three sections. Section 1 is chapters 1 through 3. Section 2 is chapters 4 and 5. Section 3 is chapters 6 and beyond. I've preached through the book of Revelation many a time. What I wanted to do in this little project I started a while back is not only give a literal application to the book or tell you what it's saying, but give you practical application. How can I apply that into my life right now? Right. So I started a little thing of doing just verse by verse commentary. Here's what that verse means. Here's what it means literally. Here's what it can mean to you practically. So I started that a while back, and then God set me down, put that computer in my lap and said, here, finish it. Okay, so I got the rough draft finished on section 1, all right? And I'm going to be working to get that ready for your consumption. How many of you would be okay with that? How many of you would read it? I think it's maybe 80 or 90 pages of material so far, and I'm trying to keep it short to like a page a verse, you know, or something like that. But if you would be interested in that, I'm going to make that available. Now, I'll have section 1 kind of re-edited, and I got to put a few little things in there and get it ready, and then Haley will have to edit it with grammar, because she thinks for some reason my subject-verb agreement is not good. When the truth is, I graduated from subject-verb agreement in college with honors on the dean's list, and she thinks I don't do it well. But she'll have to go through it a little bit, but hopefully within a week to a week and a half, I'll have section 1 done and ready to offer. And then I'm going to do section 2. Then I'm going to do section 3. It's hard to do that and drive a truck. That's why it's been a work in progress. So while I'm down, I'm going to try to get as much of that done as I can. I think it'll be helpful for you, especially in the days ahead and what we're facing. Everybody say amen to that. Okay? So I covet your prayers that I'll be able to get it done in such a way that it will bless you. Everybody say amen to that. All right. Thank you for letting me be here today and do this, Pastor. And I have to say, the best message I've ever heard you preach was last Sunday. You're not going to be able to top that one. It's downhill from there, brother. That was awesome. And if you didn't get to listen to him preach that message last week, and even if you did get to listen to it, you need to go back and hear it again. And that was wonderful. And Haley's going to write a song about the stonecutter. I told her to. She hadn't got it done yet. But it's simply because she's not submissive yet as a wife. But she will repent of that. And yeah, it is true. I'm weak enough where she could take me in a fair fight, I'm afraid, right now. Nonetheless, that was a powerful message. And thank you for that. Amen? All right, take a minute or two and we're going to worship again.